Wendy, here it is, the bonus hour. Your life, by the way, recently saved by one of our engineers. Bob the engineer came to the rescue and saved your life.
Bob Ferguson helped me out.
He's a superhero.
Here's what happened. I don't know why. It's usually in the wintertime, but for some reason, the studio felt dry to me today. And I had a little tickle coming in the back of my throat, and I knew it was happening.
Yeah.
And then I was unable to lubricate it.
Yeah.
So then I had a coughing attack.
Yes, during a commercial.
Yeah, that was bad timing. Healthy Trinity does not prevent you from coughing,
no.
So it's no fault of theirs.
No, it isn't.
And it's just, this is like a weird allergy pollen season now.
Yes.
And I still have this little tickle in the back of my throat.
Yeah.
And it can turn on a dime.
Sure.
So I needed a now and later. There have been a lot of candies around here, and I needed something very sour to cause salivation to then lubricate my throat.
Yeah.
And I asked, there's been now and laters here all week long, and now the day that I really need it,
it's not
here. And Bob Ferguson was helping us do the switch to the stream to WGN Extra, and he said, you need a now and later?
Yeah.
I have an emergency now and later.
Think about that, because that was the most intriguing part of this whole thing, is that he keeps an emergency now and later. Like a lot of people, when you think emergencies, you think bandages, gauze, Bactine, there's certain things, aloe vera, that you think, I should keep this handy just in case, an EpiPen. But in Bob's experience, the best thing to have on emergency reserve is a now and later candy.
Well, here's the problem with that. I had an emergency now and later, but I ate it now. So I didn't have one for later, and that's when you'll need it.
Usually you want to put some aside.
It's in the name. You eat it now or you eat it later. What are you going to pick? Now.
But they're called now and laters, not now or laters.
I have no patience. I can't wait for anything.
Do you know on either Tuesday or Wednesday, I can't remember, and I also don't know which order the days come from. And earlier this week, I had a conversation with Walter Jacobson about the difference between now and laters and starbursts.
Which, by the way, that's technically what Bob Ferguson had. It was an emergency starburst.
Right.
That was very hard.
But to the casual observer, those two are very similar. They're both shaped similarly. The packaging
now and later's
is
way bigger.
Not way bigger.
Yeah, it's considerably bigger. Starbursts are dinky now.
And really, they've made them smaller?
It was pretty small.
That. But usually when you would get a now and later in the old days, they had been on the shelf for a while and they were harder. But now, for some reason, they're
very soft and
pliable and delicious. I love them. But there was a container of them near where Walter sits. And I reached in and he goes, oh, those are so good. Aren't they good? And I go, they're delicious. And he goes, I don't know which I like better, the now and laters or the starbursts. They're both so good. And then it hit me. I'm now in the middle of a conversation with one of America's most respected newsmen of all time about something that I would think only I would care about, but he actually showed more enthusiasm than I did about the topic.
Wait till you hear his upcoming perspective.
I ask you, Mr. Mayor, I don't know why he was so into it, but I love the fact that Walter A. knew that those existed and B. had a definite opinion about it. Good for him.
And here's the thing. You're right. They have definitely changed the formulation of a now and later.
They used to always be stale. Even
like
if you got them that day, they were stale. But now they're very chewy.
They are a soft chew.
Yes.
And they were always like a very hard chew before.
Right.
Almost crunchy on the outside. They were so hard.
Right.
And that was kind of the magic of a now and later when we were kids. You knew what you were getting. It was never going to be soft.
Right. Now just the opposite.
Yeah. Different formulation.
They must have changed their recipe in some way. Also, it was limited flavors in the old days. Now there's a multitude of flavors, each of them more delicious than the others.
Wild berry, I highly recommend. And the blue raspberry.
Yes.
I go blue raspberry all the time.
Yeah. Interesting.
Slush puppy. Popsicle.
Why do you think it is?
I love the color. and in my mind, if you love the color, you're going to love the taste more.
Right. There weren't that many foods that were that shade of blue when we were a kid. Of course, there was the popsicle, the long thin popsicle that was that color blue, and then
Mr. Freeze.
Was it Mr. Freeze that made those?
Because Mr. Freeze was like a flavor ice.
Yeah,
but
that
they
was
were
the long thin popsicle that I mean, right? That's a Mr. Freeze.
Oh yeah,
Freeze
I'm pop. Sorry, not on a stick.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
That was definitely it. Because I remember going to Brookfield Little League games when my brother played, and they were a nickel, and you could get Blue Raspberry was the one that always went first, always.
When you say a nickel, you go, well, how could that company have stayed in business? But really, it's probably 0.1 cent to provide, because it's
sugar
ice
water
with a little bit of sugar in it.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And some food coloring. So I'm sure that they did all right.
You know what else came in that blue raspberry? And this was also purchased at the Roy A. Overholt Brookfield Little League snack stand, which I loved.
What was?
It was a very thin saltwater taffy, and it would have a color, but it was white. There was a white stripe in the middle of it.
Oh, right. I remember
that. That was
those.
Also,
you're right.
They had a blue colored in that.
But now if you go to a candy store or even like a sport drink aisle, almost every Gatorade or Gatorade-type company has
that
kind of a blue, right? That's standard. Everyone has it. But as a kid, that was such a novelty to see something that there was that color. Antifreeze was kind of the only thing that was that
color
back then.
And the Glacier Freeze Gatorade that I enjoy very much, and they now make a zero Gatorade, zero calories, and it tastes almost identical.
What was...
it looks like antifreeze, though.
Yeah.
That's the one I like.
You have to get ready for that. Was the Ecto Cooler that was high C, was that greenish? That was like a minty green, wasn't it? That wasn't blue, was it?
No, it was green, because didn't that tie into the Ghostbusters?
Yeah, because Slimer was that color green.
Yeah, it was green.
So that's why. Yeah.
Ectoplasm.
Because now I think there's several kids' juice-type drinks that are probably also that kind of blue, a very vibrant blue. I know if I'm walking around a grocery store and just looking for it, I see a bunch of stuff that color, but it never used to be. It's just I think to the kid's eye and to yours and mine, that color says, wow, it's like a blue Hawaiian. I'm a kid drinking a blue Hawaiian. This is great. Keep them coming, bartender.
Was Hawaiian Punch? They had the blue when we were kids then. I know Red Fruit Punch was the major Hawaiian Punch. But didn't they have a blue one also?
I don't think the blue one came when we were kids. I think that was later on, I think. Were you more of a high C or more of a Hawaiian Punch?
Hawaiian, well, I kind of mixed and matched. It's whatever my mom bought. Probably high C.
Did you always find them to be a little tinny tasting? Because you'd get them in that giant tin container. Like the ones my mom would get, you had to open with a can opener.
Yeah, you punctured both sides so it would pour out.
But it always had a very tinny taste to me. My mom always said I was imagining things.
Yeah, I didn't remember it being tinny.
I thought it was always tinny.
Well, because it was in a tin can.
Yeah.
You probably think, you know, you go one step further than most
maybe
of us.
Maybe if I'm not in the room when I'd see her open it, maybe I wouldn't be so ready for the tinny taste.
You're suggestible.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing. You just are. And again, you think more than we do. I was just so happy to be able to have some
kind
of...
I'm just drinking something sugary. I don't care.
Hey, it's a special occasion. We're not getting Lipton's iced tea, which there's nothing wrong with. But again, when I was growing up, my dad had diabetes, so there was no sugar.
They were mindful of the sugar
content
in
our house. And they always made a sugar-free Lipton iced tea. And it's like...
I bet that was delicious.
Honestly, it wasn't too bad.
It was all right?
Yeah, because it had Tab had, you know, I guess it was aspartame back then.
Yeah.
That's what they used. It wasn't bad, but it's not what a kid wanted.
We drank so much soda or pop or soda pop. It's up to you, the listener. We drank so much of it as a kid that I'm amazed that I have teeth.
Me too. And none of you have diabetes. You all have your teeth.
Yeah.
I just can't.
That's all we drank when I was a kid. That
did
was
you ever
it.
Have milk?
Well, I couldn't because as a kid, I drank so much milk that I'm trying to remember what it's called. There's something that's like, you know, if you don't drink enough milk, you're anemic. There's a reverse of that if you drink too much.
Well, anemic is iron poor. You don't have enough iron in your blood, I guess.
So whatever I had was the opposite of that. I can't remember. There's a word for it, but I don't remember what it's called. So it's not like the doctor said, so make sure that this young man drinks nothing but soda pop. It wasn't like that. But we just had in our refrigerator, we always had 64-ounce bottles of three or four or five flavors of pop. And I know it's not healthy, but that's what we drank all the time.
Did you have brittle bones?
No.
Can drinking too much milk
no,
make
I did
your
not
bones
have
more
bones.
Brittle?
Nope.
Are there any side effects from drinking too much milk? I don't know. Not lactose intolerance.
No, it's the opposite of all that. But I, as soon as they said, this guy's drinking way too much milk, my mom's like, well, what do we do? And he goes, yeah, I take him off the milk immediately because this is not, he's drinking way too much. And I think mostly for me, it was mostly chocolate milk because regular didn't do it for me, but I loved chocolate milk. I used to drink that a lot. But then the pop thing, like honestly, during dinner on our table, we would have two or sometimes three of the 64-ounce bottles, and the four of us would go through it. It was gone. They were gone by the time dinner was over.
You know what I loved about your mother? I mean, I know it was a different time back then, but if she were to do it all over again in these times, she'd still do it the same way.
I think she would.
She would not worry about if other people judged
no.
her saying, you know what,
no.
too much soda is bad for your kids. She'd be like, thanks for your opinion and do what
You're
she
right.
wants.
You're right. One time, I think I've told you this, my parents used to go to Las Vegas once or sometimes twice a year. So they would leave us with, you know, family members or friends. Sometimes we'd stay at their house, but more times than not, whoever was in charge of us would come and live with us for 4 or 5 days while my parents were in Las Vegas. So one time we had this woman, it was, my mom had a friend named Judy, who you've met. She came to one of our remotes a couple of years ago. And Judy had a friend, and her friend, so it's my mom's friend's friend that came and lived with us for 4 days. So every night at dinner, along with our meal, she would serve us not just milk, Wendy, but warm milk. She would heat up milk and put it in a glass, and that's what we had because that's what she had for her kids. And my brother and I are like, what is this? And she goes, that's what we drink with dinner. And my brother said, well, that's what you drink with dinner, but we have root beer. And she's like, no. I want to make sure that when you get home, you're everybody's healthy and stuff, so we're going to drink warm milk. We were going to call 911. We were going to call. My brother and I are like, this is, you can't do this.
This is child abuse.
You can't come into somebody's house. This is our house. You don't come in here and do this. What are you doing?
Now, I know cell phones weren't a thing, and a lot of times if your parents were on vacation, you know, you couldn't just call anytime you wanted. But when your parents checked in, did you explain to your mom?
My brother and I had a plan. Because we knew this woman's name was Karen, and we knew Karen would be upset if she heard us say something. So when they called to check on us, when my brother was talking to my mom, I said to Karen, I have to show you something upstairs, because we didn't want her in the room when my brother said,
right.
She's torturing us. She's making us drink milk. What did you do to us? We want 50-50, and this woman's giving us milk. Come on.
But warm milk.
Warm milk.
That makes it one step worse.
Did you ever drink warm milk?
Only with Ovaltine in it, and I still didn't like it.
That's palatable.
Still not good, though.
But just a big cup of warm milk.
Mm-mm.
I felt like an orphan. Do orphans drink warm milk? Because that's how I felt.
I
had to go sell matches in the snow.
I guess.
Because that's
with the fingerless gloves.
Yeah, I wore fingerless gloves and I sold matches for a penny each. That's the only. That's how we survived.
Even like, I guess warm milk is better than if it was unintentionally warm. Like if it was just left out all night,
she heated it up.
Right, so that's a little better than just room temperature milk. But
well,
still not good.
It was so horrible, especially when you're used to the sugary deliciousness that is soda pop and you're given this as an alternative. And my brother even said, because we had seen my mom make caramel by, you know, when you make caramel, you heat up milk
and
that's what makes caramel. So my brother said, why don't, if you leave it on longer and make it hotter, we can have caramel juice. But that doesn't, it doesn't work out that way. But I give him credit for trying.
So what happened when you distracted Karen and Adam was telling your mom about the torture you guys were?
My mom didn't believe it. She said, she's not giving you warm milk. Yeah, that's not something you make up. You guys need to fly home immediately. Come home now. We'll be dead by the time you get home at this rate.
That's another thing that our parents did, and this is where I learned it. The stranger's always right. She believed someone else over her own family members.
Yes.
My mom did that too.
Another time when somebody watched us when my parents were in Las Vegas, it was record-breaking heat. It was the middle of August. Every day was up into the hundreds.
Jeez.
And in, the way our house was, the air conditioner was in my parents' room. There was
a window unit?
Yeah, there was.
You didn't have central air.
Well, no. We got, I'm trying to remember what the time frame was. We got it at some point, but at the time we didn't. And the woman who watched us then stayed in my parents' room with the door closed for the whole 4 days. So the rest of the hot, we were just dripping wet. It was so hot.
She didn't let you come in?
And she'd come up. No, she wanted her privacy. She would just sit in there and read.
Who did your mom get to stay with you?
Ex-cons. Mostly ex-convicts. It was crazy. And they, I'm not making this up. Anyone who would agree to stay with us for 4 days got the job. There was no screening at all. Have you ever stayed with a kid before? Kid? What is a kid? No, I've never stayed with a kid.
Didn't she know them?
Or she knew someone
who referred her to them?
It was so convoluted. Like, one time, the woman who stayed with us was the woman that used to babysit for my mom when she was little, a lady named Mrs. Croppins, who my mom hadn't seen since she was 5 years old. And it's
so
like,
she was old.
Oh, she was so old. She was
so old.
That
she was
old.
Fun. And she's not the one who gave you the warm
milk. She wasn't the worst by far. She was like in the top five best. Because she was so old that she just plain didn't care. We would check in with her in the morning when we went to school, and then at night we'd say goodnight to her. And the rest of the time, you know, she was just going, oh, I love that Nelson Eddy. I wish Nelson Eddy was still alive. She had a thing for Nelson Eddy. So, yeah, they would just take anybody who could stay with us for 4 or 5 days. They just automatically got the job.
That's so different, because when I had kids, Jim and I didn't go out unless a family member could watch the kids.
Yeah. You wanted to be someone you trust.
Yeah, we maybe had two or three babysitters over the course of my kids growing
up.
That
was it?
And only like maybe one or two times each. Like, wow. Mainly it was, we wouldn't go out unless family could watch them.
Wow.
Kim Gordon has joined us. Weren't you like that?
I had one Saturday night babysitter, and it was this older woman. I mainly had family too, because I was lucky for my boys, because I was lucky to have a lot of family around.
Yeah.
But I had this one lady who had worked for my husband, and she was an older lady, and just kind of adopted my kids as like her pseudo grandchildren, because her grandchildren didn't live in Louisville, and she would come and stay with the kids,
and they loved her.
Oh yeah, she would, you know, she drove, so they all went out to dinner, and they were very busy, and she came to all of our family birthdays and all that
excellent.
Stuff. She was a big part of our family. We were very lucky.
It was so funny, because the very first time we left Michael with somebody, it was Jim's mom. And I remember having a list of, here's what you do, here's where the breast milk is, here's this. Everything was just, and she looked at it and very nicely, you know, said, okay,
yeah.
I will try to follow all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then by the time Dylan was born, we just left. You know, she's like, where's your note? And she brings this up now. She goes, Wendy, you had all these things, and I'm thinking to myself, I raised three kids.
Yeah.
I can handle it.
Yeah.
But no, when Dylan, the first time we left her with Dylan, it was just like, okay, see you later. And she's like, there was no note taped to the back of a cabinet,
wow.
No measurements. Because by then, you relax. Your first baby, man,
yeah,
you don't know what to do.
It's intense. It's intense.
And you had them both at the same time,
yeah.
So you had double the intensity.
Yeah. My mom would always leave notes when they would go away on these trips. I was saying earlier,
give
Kim,
them warm milk.
They would go, yes, please. The boys only drink warm milk. Please don't give them anything.
I bet she
warm
did.
Milk.
She pranked you.
My mom and dad would go to Las Vegas a couple times a year, usually for 3 or 4 days. And my mom would put notes on everything. There was no switch that didn't say up means on, down means off. Like stuff like you go, I probably could have figured that out.
Right.
Keep oven door closed, like downstairs in the laundry room. Make sure, dryer door is closed all the way so kids don't play in it. You know, that kind of stuff. Like, we would never have played in the dryer, but my mom put notes on the whole house. Was like a novel to go around and just read the house.
Who was taking care of you?
It was different people every time.
Okay.
Some people she didn't even know that well. And they'd go away for days at a time. Like if they were going to Vegas for an extended weekend or something.
My mom was a dance teacher, so sometimes some of her older students, like she would put a notice up on the board at the dance studio. Mm-hmm. If you're open the week of the 18th, let me know. We're looking for a babysitter. So sometimes it was them. it was like the strangest array of people. And I don't think anyone did it more than once. Now that I think about it, I think everybody was one and out.
Well, look at you two.
I know,
yeah.
I know.
And those Dymo machine labels came out when I was younger. I don't have a ton of memories of my dad, but I don't remember the year. But you know what I'm talking about?
The printable labels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he, much like your mom, would label everything. So there'd be, you know, you'd see one and it would say light switch. And then there was a label refrigerator. He went through the whole house and did it. Yeah. I think it's just because it was novel and he was excited about.
Those things were cool. Yeah. I wanted one of those.
They were. And then it was like they'd press deep down to make the indentation of the letter. And then the Dymo machines are still out there. And now it's just like a sticker with, you know, the letters flat and there's ink on it. But back then it was like this.
An indentation.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I do remember those.
He put it on the dog. I think it said dog on the collar. He really did. He had a pretty good sense of humor.
Kim's got the news. That's coming up in just a minute or two. And then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. There were two stories, Kim. Hi, everybody. It's the Bonus Hour. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. And you know Kim. There were two stories yesterday that got a lot of play in New York and nationally that didn't get much play here because we have our own problems. We have our own stories. But I don't know if you got to see either of these. Did you see what happened with the George Washington Bridge yesterday?
Yeah.
No, but I thought you were talking about the man who died in the elevator.
That's the other one.
Oh, okay.
That's the other one.
That one I don't know about. The bridge issue was breaking in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I was watching Joe Donlan and Micah Mater, and there was a suspicious package on the George Washington Bridge. And it's funny because they had a woman who was on the bridge trying to get across it. And just as they went to her, the traffic opened up and she was moving and she was quite the character. But I liked that the news team was just talking to someone via the phone who was live at the scene. That turned out all right.
Everything
though.
Was okay. There was no bomb. They were afraid that there was a package, meaning a possible bomb. So people were on the bridge for hours and they couldn't move. There was total gridlock and they were trying to figure out I'm sure this lady probably said they didn't know whether to evacuate people from their cars or if people could make up their own mind to get out of their car. They couldn't turn around. Everybody was locked. I don't know how long you put up with that before you go, I can't just stay here if the bomb, something explodes. Well, that's one question I thought of, but then this is a stupid question, but I don't know the answer to this. What if, because so much traffic in that area, in that part of New York is cab traffic, what if you get in a taxi and you're stuck and all of a sudden a ride that's supposed to cost you $12 costs you $300?
Okay, there's no way they would do that.
Would you have to make a deal with the cab?
They would turn off the meter, you guys. Come on, there's nothing.
Do you think they would?
There's nothing they could do. And
all right, I'm going to next weekend. I'm going to New York next weekend. I'll ask my cab driver.
Because if like you're stuck, they were stuck there for hours, which would drive me insane.
Yeah.
This woman that Micah and Joe talked to said, I think Joe said, did you have enough gas? And
that's a great question.
She said, well, obviously I would, you know, turn my car off for a while, but I also wanted to have it on to charge my cell phone because what else am I going to do while I'm sitting here for hours?
True.
And, You can't. What else can you do? You can't just leave your car there.
No,
well,
not there. Especially.
Not if it's your own car, but in a cab, I would say to the cab driver,
"I'm walking.
This is free, right? I'm not. You don't charge me for this because if they charge you, then you got to go. Well, then the ride's over. Here's the $12 I owe you, and then get out of the
There's
cab.
There's no way they can because they can't. That's not fair. They wouldn't do that.
Does it sit on? Is it like an active nature?
Nature, or God,
God, or something?
Yeah. I wonder.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not an act of God because if somebody puts a suspicious package, that's not like a tornado or.
Right.
Yeah, but he's not going to be able to go somewhere else and pick up another fare and make money.
Not.
So, what if he was on his way to pick up someone and got stuck? There's no way. There's no way someone would have to get
Wouldn't
stuck with that.
Would you still
want to
clarify it with with the driver and go, just so we both understand
the meter's off, right?
We're not being charged.
If any cab drivers out there listening in Chicago, call us. They may know the
Good
answer.
Good question. I don't. Yeah, because I don't know the answer to that.
Because I'm sure you can get stuck here as much. What?
Not
yeah, but
two
not
hours.
For. Yeah, for hours. That you know.
Well, remember when people were stuck on Lakeshore Drive for hours in that blizzard?
Was anybody in a cab that night?
I would assume somebody
had
to be.
Well, 312-235-2525.
But it's not like you've been in New York, so you know so much of the traffic.
Right.
in most of New York is cab traffic because you just can't afford a parking space in New York. So,
but I wonder what happens with an Uber too. Now you put Uber into the mix, they quote you a rate, but
that's a fixed rate. You would have prepaid.
You would have.
That's a fixed rate. So right. I think that doesn't apply. I think
there is no way the cab driver could keep that meter running for 2 hours or however long they were stuck on that
bridge.
I'd like
to think they can't, but.
There's no way. Who's going to pay that? At that point, you just get out and run away, and they can't even find you after you.
Right.
Yeah, I guess. But I would just say
that's the first thing you worry about.
I would say straight out, this part of the ride is free, right? The part where we're waiting on the bridge. I wouldn't say. Why would I say bro?
Because he only has $20, Wendy. Anyway,
right? I would say. I only have $20 today. If we're here a second day, my wife will come and give me another $20. But for the one day, so then if he says, no, sorry, we're in the middle of a fair, the meter's running, then I go, well, then you know what? Just drop me here. I'll walk the rest of the way. Save yourself with some money. The other one was that horrible incident in the elevator.
Now, I don't know this, I don't think.
He was from Wisconsin.
Oh, he was, wasn't he? Because I know they had talked to his dad, and his dad was saying how unexpected and tragic this was, and it was.
Oh, horrible.
So what exactly happened?
So I don't exactly understand what happened. He was in the elevator in a luxury high-rise New York apartment, and somehow the elevator dropped. And they showed, I saw on the Today Show earlier this morning, they showed some video. They didn't show exactly what happened to him, but they showed somebody like hopping out before the elevator. So I'm wondering if he hopped out or tried to hop out because it said he got crushed.
Yeah, I remember.
So somehow he ended up underneath the elevator, and I don't quite understand how that happened.
Unless it went up
and then he tried to get out and then it went down on top of him. I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Oh, man. That's horrible. They had said that this particular building, and it's a nice building, but they said that they've had all kinds of infractions with the elevator in the past.
Yeah, and not necessarily, it was the other elevator, not necessarily this elevator that actually ended up crushing him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they'd had
problems. Yeah, it's the video is horrible. I mean, there is a warning.
They show this in a video?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It just looks like the elevator door opens, and then the elevator is coming down and doesn't come to a complete stop.
Uh-huh.
Like the door came open, so I imagine the bell rang and the door came open. And one guy before him jumps out. And he's like, oh, I'm going to do it too, but he didn't have enough time. And his like part of his body's out. It just continues to go down the shaft, so he is...
crushed.
Yeah. Like crushed sideways, though.
Yeah.
And people saw this happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They talked to one lady who lived in the building who
said, some people, I guess, who didn't try to get out were okay on the elevator.
They were.
But they saw.
But how far did it, do we know how far the car fell?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I can show it to you.
Do I want to see this?
All right.
I mean, the outcome is terribly tragic. But it does, I mean.
When I was watching it on the Today Show, they wouldn't show what happened.
So the door opens and somebody comes out and he tries to get out and it's like he has part of his body trying to step out on the floor, like kind of to jump off, basically. And the elevator is continuing to go down the shaft, so it just kind of...
It hits him. The floor part looks like it hits him in the chest as he's moving out of it. Ah, man.
Yeah, because he's got his hands out on the side.
Right.
Right. He's trying to
brace
like
himself.
Basically,
yeah.
It kind of takes him down with it.
And had he not tried to get out on the particular floor,
he would have been
none of his appendages would have been out, so he wouldn't have been.
But he didn't know at the time that it was going to end, that the elevator would at some point end safely.
Right.
You know, at that point,
you
it was dropping
anything.
A bit.
Oh, that's terrible.
And I think if there was a mistake in this, it's that one guy got out and he was probably next in line, obviously.
But there wasn't enough time.
But there wasn't time for two. There was, as it turned out, time for one. Because that first guy jumps out, he loses his balance, but then he's okay.
And you see the one girl who's walking by the elevator, she just puts her hands over her eyes.
Oh, no. That's horrible.
And the guy who jumps out originally...
Yeah.
It's weird because he doesn't even seem to be in a rush. He looks like he's just kind of walking off, like he timed it.
Well, it didn't, at that point, it didn't look like the car was going that fast. It almost looks like...
But it still didn't stop.
No, it did not stop.
So, I don't know. Would you guys try and jump off a moving elevator? I don't think I would have before. I mean, you know, obviously, if there's an elevator malfunction and it goes, you know, careening down and ends and slams on the floor, it's not going to be a good result.
Right.
But I think it's more dangerous to try and time it where you're, oh, if I just jump out here.
Right. You and I, Wendy, have discussed this in the past, and I've been told that this does not work. But I remember a guy came up with a theory years ago where he said, if you're ever in an elevator that's going down, keep jumping up and down, because when it does hit the bottom, you got a 50-50 chance you're either going to be on the floor of the elevator. But if you keep jumping up and down, you could be up above the floor, and that would absorb the crash, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And,
do you
and
really
that makes
still
sense
believe
to
this?
Me. In my head, that makes sense.
Yeah,
that
if you're could a cartoon.
I am a cartoon.
Because that thing would be plummeting down at such force
right.
that, you know, a thing moving like 100 miles an hour, just coming to a stop, it
right.
wouldn't matter if you were an inch off the ground. You would be thrown to the top because the force. There's no way. You brought that up to somebody who was smart, and they said that there's no way that would work. I can't remember who we were talking to.
No, you're right,
to.
Though. We used to do a Think Him where once a week we would talk to someone who was smart, and that guy or girl said, no, that can't possibly work. But I go, but if you're in midair,
no.
you're not absorbing the crash. The floor of the elevator is, but you would then have that half-second cushion to land.
I don't think so.
But the
again,
smart person said, no, I'm smart. You're
okay.
dumb. So.
I don't know who it was, but we did ask someone this. Someone
like
who would
engineer
know.
Or
I don't.
Stephen Hawking, I think we asked.
I don't know who we asked or why we asked.
Ask a smart guy. We see
a physics teacher.
I do like that for the name of a new segment, though.
Ask a smart person.
But just think about it. You know, an elevator is flying down at, just say, 100 miles an hour.
I don't think it's that fast, is it?
They
no.
pick up. What if
they
it's,
can't go that
listen,
fast?
Listen, if there's like a power outage or something, and you're on, like, I don't know, the 37th floor of the Hancock building,
yeah.
and it starts going down, you don't think it's going to pick up speed to reach
it's
100
pick
miles
up speed,
an hour?
But I don't think it's going to go that fast. All think right. about how fast your car goes even at 70 or 75.
Right.
Okay. Think of 50 miles an hour. Do you think
right.
it could go 50 miles an hour?
Depends on how far you're falling
right.
down.
All right, give me a...
How high is the building?
I don't know.
Are we in the Hancock? Or are we in like this?
I don't know how tall this
what
building
was. What am I
was.
Wearing?
Well, the thing is like, but we're...
and you know this is going to happen, so you've wrapped yourself in bubble wrap, which would also not work.
Well, but still...
But think about it. You're going 30 miles
wrap.
An hour. I'm sure it's faster than 30
right,
miles
say,
an hour. Say 50.
Say, all right, I'll give you 50. Okay.
Well, Google how fast can an elevator go.
All right.
Well, I think there are so many variables. But if right. you're driving in a car at 50 miles an hour and all of a sudden it hits a tree and you don't have any seatbelt on,
yes.
you're going to go flying out.
Correct.
So if you're in an elevator car
right.
and it's starting to come down really, really, really fast and just
yes.
slams in the ground.
Yes.
You're going to be thrown the other way, whether you're jumping or
even
not.
Even midair? Even if let's say I'm a really
you don't
good,
jump that high.
I'm not a great jumper,
Michael
but I'm
Jordan wouldn't be hurt. You would be hurt.
Wasn't there a movie, White Men Can't Jump
yes,
or something? Yeah.
That proves Wendy's theory. So even if I'm midair as it hits, I would still...
And Bill is jumping as he's showing
I'm
us.
yeah, just to illustrate my point, I am jumping. So how am I absorbing the crash if I'm midair during the crash?
Because it's careening down. It's not like time is stopping
so
inside the capsule.
Do you think I would hit the ceiling of it
yes.
then? Yes. I would?
100%.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
You're
although
envisioning...
now elevators need parachutes installed.
Yes.
And then that would take care of it.
Yes.
In your cartoon mind,
yes.
if you were in an elevator car and it was careening
it's me,
down...
Quick Draw McGraw... and Baba Louie.
If it was
members of the Ant Hill Mob from Wacky Races.
If it was completely sealed and I don't know, it had its own inner ecosystem, maybe if it was a vacuum sealed thing, maybe I still don't even see that. But it's like, if you would go to jump up, first of all, you wouldn't be able to because
the force is going to bring you down.
The centrifugal force.
The force is with me, Kim.
Oh, my God.
It's against you in this situation.
You really believe this still to this day?
In my head, it has been, like I said, people smarter than you and I, guests of the show, way smarter, have said, no, that can't possibly work. And they've explained it. And I'm like, but I understand what you're saying, but it just seems, when you think about it, if you're midair during the crash,
don't stay in midair.
There's
that
no
long.
Midair.
No, it's only you're only up there for a half a second.
Not even maybe.
But
right. But how long would the crash?
And if you're going down that fast, how do you know you're even able to jump? You may not
be
able to jump.
I know. That's the part. Maybe the centrifugal force would be such that it'd be so strong that there'd be no way to get any lift, right?
Right.
Or maybe you'd get extra lift. Because it's going down so fast that maybe...
Well, but you're not going to lose gravity. You're going to gain gravity as you fall.
There's a...
was Sir Isaac Newton our guest that day, Wendy? I think he was.
The Department of Physics at the University of Illinois has a website. And this was sent in by J.K.
Rollins?
Age 18.
Simmons?
Say you were in an elevator in a free fall, assuming you have the presence of mind in this situation and assuming you get the timing right and jump so that you are up in
the
air.
They got my note. I didn't think
they'd
get my note.
JK stands for just kidding.
Yes. I had no idea they'd get my note. Thank you, U.S. Postal Service.
And so assuming you get the timing right and jump so that you are up in the air when the elevator hits the bottom,
right.
Would you be hurt as much as if you hadn't jumped? Thanks.
Ah, that's the question.
Great question. How much you get hurt depends on the force on when you hit the ground. Remember, that force is proportional to the change in momentum and inversely proportional to the length of time over which the momentum changes.
Duh.
Since momentum is mass times velocity, the faster you're going when you hit the ground, the more force you will feel and the more it will hurt. If the elevator has been falling for a while, then it's probably moving very fast. If you jump up, then you'll change your velocity just a little bit. So you'll be going a tiny bit slower when you hit the ground. So technically speaking, you would probably not be hurt quite as much. But this difference would probably be so small as to not be noticeable.
Oh.
In particular, if you're falling so fast as to be killed in the fall, jumping would most likely not make enough of a difference to save your life.
Damn.
Sorry, Bill.
It sounds like such a great theory.
Doug has called us at 312-235-2525. Doug, would you explain this to Bill?
Explain, Doug, please.
It's really easy. If and the thing you just read is correct.
Yes.
If the elevator is falling 100 miles an hour and you're going to jump just at the split second, you're still falling 100 miles an hour.
Right.
True. You're still falling that fast.
But an inch higher than the people below you.
Inch high private eye.
That's true. So you would die an inch later than they would.
Oh, well, it's... I would rather have that distinction.
All right, Doug, stand by, because this goes on to say, at first, you'd think that jumping up won't do any good because you'll just fall back down, speeding up again.
Yeah.
Once the elevator is falling more than half as fast as the speed you get by jumping, jumping reduces your energy, will soften your fall. If you'd tried jumping just as soon as the elevator started to fall, you'd actually end up falling from a greater height and hit harder. So you're thinking, wait till the last second to step off. But as Doug pointed out, you're still falling as fast as the elevator is.
Yeah.
God, that is the most common sense. See, Doug is a smart person.
Doug, you're smart. You're very smart.
Are you a physics teacher, Doug?
No, just an old hockey player, that's all.
All right. We'll accept that as an answer. Well, thank you, Doug. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
I love you guys, man.
See you.
Even after today's show?
Good one.
A listener.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. A listener texts this in. I was on an airplane and I jumped up at row 12 and I landed on row 19. So your elevator theory is sound. And that is from one of our cartoon listeners named Tom.
He ricocheted like Ricochet Rabbit.
But I know. All right. So I know that this will sound idiotic, but I forever was fascinated by the fact that you could be on an airplane and there'd be a fly on an airplane. So an airplane, you know how fast an airplane's going.
Right.
You would think that the fly would be pinned up against the back wall because
pressurized cabin. Otherwise, you would be pushed up against the wall. Why would a fly be pushed up against the wall and not you?
Because the fly isn't attached to anything. It's just flying in the air. I'm walking around on the airplane. I'm not floating in the air.
Are you listening to yourself and the words coming out of your mouth?
He's still pressurized, even though he chose not to be.
Right. But it still has to be jarring for him. Because he's going, look, I'm a fly. I'm flying 180 miles an hour. I'm getting nothing out of this. And then when I'm done, I end up in Phoenix. All my friends are in Fort Lauderdale, and I'm in Phoenix. What happened? How did this happen?
Too hot in Phoenix.
And why did I get charged for a bag? That's ridiculous. I'm a fly. Kim, thank you very much for hanging out. I wouldn't have, but you somehow decided to do it. So good for you. We'll say goodbye next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Friday.
Wow. And not a moment too soon. All right, that's it for the show for today and for this week. We'll come back on Monday with more exciting adventures. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.